wanted haze. All right, number 32, New York. This one you probably maybe heard of before. It's called Cropsy.
Ooh, Cropsy. There's a good documentary on this.
Yes, I think it's maybe on Amazon Prime. It's really good to watch, though.
Right.
The story of Cropsy has many iterations, but generally it tells of a story of a man who stalked a sleepaway camp / mental institution / children's hospital right. and had a hook for a hand and killed children who were wandering alone at night. Would have never been me. Wandering.
Well, this was, obviously it's like after it's abandoned, like that's one of the places like teenagers go.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of
right, like a right.
village. But this was like a mental institution. There was a documentary made by that, by Geraldo Herrera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like these poor people were like just sitting in their own defecation and like, just drooling on themselves, and they'd all be naked, and they're just lined up in the hallways. It was just overcrowded.
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember the name of the place off the top of my head. We can totally find it out. But anyway, this guy used to work there.
Wow. Well, every single person who ever went to camp in New York State has heard about Cropsy.
Right.
And I can definitely see why. Things took a more sinister turn.
This happened like in Long Island, I believe.
Whenever the documentary posited that Cropsy was actually real, a convicted child kidnapper named Andre Rand.
Andre Rand, which is crazy because allegedly Andre Rand was part of the church, the process church of the final judgment, which is also supposed to be tied to the Son of Sam killer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the Son of Sam killer always had said that he was part of a group of people. Like, he wasn't the one.
Right. Like
the only one doing that. He was. He said he was one of the ones doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But he was not the only one.
He wasn't acting alone.
Yeah. There was other people out there shooting people. And along with other crazy children sacrifice things.
Right.
That's a whole subject on itself.
Like, that's really interesting.
The process church of the final judgment. Yeah.
Churches, they just get dark.
Well, that's more of a cult thing. It's not like a church. It's not a Christian church.
No, I know that. But I'm saying, like, just in general, anytime you're calling yourself a church.
Well, there's a lot of alleged, like, biker gangs that were tied to that okay. stuff. You know, a lot of people, you know, that dark magic stuff, like, people believe it just as much as you believe in, you know, crystal stuff.
Right,
know?
Right,
or
right.
even more so. Like, they believe that they do these rituals. And, you know, I don't know. You see results from it. Can make you a believer.
No, I get that for sure. Number 33 is North Carolina. The Beast of Bladenboro.
North Carolina.
In the 1950s, multiple dogs were found dead and drained of their blood in North Carolina in the town of Bladenboro. People believed that there was a vampiric beast in the woods and they tried to hunt the animal. Today, in the town of Bladenboro, has embraced their history and actually holds a beast fest every year.
Oh, wow.
But it's never been confirmed exactly what was stalking their town. I mean, if I woke up and my dogs were dead and drained of their blood, I'd throw a fit.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck? I mean, it sounds like a chupacabra, right?
I mean, kind of. Yeah. I do love a chupacabra story.
Right? It's like a wild dog, though, really. All right, number 34, North Dakota. The gates of hell.
Hell yeah.
So the actual gates of hell, apparently.
In North Dakota.
North Dakota. Abandoned towns are generally creepy. And North Dakota has an abundance of settlements that were all but abandoned after the railroad boom. Tagus, although, takes the cake due to the little fact that people believe that it once housed a Lutheran church that doubled as a hotbed for Satan worship.
Mm-hmm.
Legend is, it burned down, but if you stand in just the right place, you can hear the screams of the damned bubbling up from hell itself. There are also reports of hellhounds, glowing gravestones, and a ghost train. Vandals and revelers have made the few people who call Tagus home very wary of visitors. And Lord knows that the combination of a rumored porter to hell and extremely unwelcoming locals in a small town is boiling over with horror movie lore.
Hate it.
The Satanism business dates back to the Satanic Panic of the 1980s. Though Tagus has been spooky since its founding in the 1900s, and ever since the late 80s, when hundreds of high schoolers turned up for a vandalism-intensive Halloween party, were run out of the ghost town. Although visitors have been met with extreme skepticism, the city's last church burned to the ground in 2001. That's creepy, too.
Yeah, it is.
So you probably just get all these, like, weird, like, satanic wannabe people, like, maybe not wannabe people, some real satanic people.
Oh, right.
Going in there trying to go through the gates of hell, and they're, like, burning churches down. That's crazy. Like, that's really interesting. There's definitely more to the story, I think. All right, this is a creepy one. Number 35, the Ohio Melonheads. It sounds like something stale your granny might keep in her candy dish, but it's actually a legend about pale, sickly, genetically altered children with giant heads and razor-sharp teeth that simply love killing babies.
That's really sad.
Riffs on the tale also exist in Michigan and Connecticut, but the Ohio case is particularly compelling. These melon heads haunt the woods of Kirkland, and apparently the adopted children of an unscrupulous doctor who used the pre-melon heads to test new medical and surgical methods with not-so-great results. In some versions of the tale, the kids are more likely to scurry away like chipmunks than bite your face off. In others, they are just ghosts of the kids. One thing is certain. They definitely inspired one very campy horror movie.
Right?
Like, I'm sure they've made a Melonheads movie. I need to find that and watch it. That's creepy. Just creepy, giant-headed, flesh-eating children.
It. Yeah, I mean, out that's in the woods. So, it gives me a little bit of Jason vibes.
Yeah, I get that. That's a good
like,
one.
It does give me Jason vibes, for
that's
sure.
That's good. Maybe they got that idea a little bit for Jason.
Yeah.
The kind of Melonhead.
All right, I also have one for Ohio.
Ohio's got a lot of stories. There's a lot of people from Ohio, a lot of famous people
so
from Ohio.
So, we talk about this, just regular-ass people. Yeah. Just, I know, like, several people that are from Ohio.
From Ohio, yeah.
It's very random.
Everybody
like,
wants to get, Ohio must suck because everybody wants to get out of there.
A lot of people are from Ohio, though. All right, mine is the Werewolf of Defiance.
Yes, I love a good werewolf story.
During the summer of 1972, the people of Defiance claimed that they were being terrorized by a werewolf. I just love that there's somewhere called Defiance, Ohio.
Right. Freedom, brother.
The sightings always happen at night, but generally by the train tracks. A couple of women said that they tried to get in the house by rattling doorknobs, and the animal was said to be huge, hairy, and dressed in rags. Ugh. After the summer ended, the beast disappeared, never to be heard of again. But the story, to this day, still lingers.
Wow. So it's like a Bigfoot that wears clothes.
I love that for him.
Yeah. All right, number 36, Oklahoma, the Skirvin Hotel. Because the place is basically Oklahoma's equivalent of the hotel from The Shining, a luxury hotel whose permanent residents include eternally crying babies.
Ooh, God, that is hell.
A ghost that likes to grope people in the shower.
Also hell.
Spirits that slam doors. And the ghost of the original owner's mistress, who allegedly died along with his illegitimate child, and who still walks the halls with a stroller. It's so prevalent that even the toughest of NBA players who have stayed at the posh hotel when in Oklahoma City often find themselves seeking alternate accommodations. And that's before the bed bugs start biting.
Oh, well, the damn Grizzlies better not be staying there. I need you to get a good night's sleep before the game.
Yeah, don't go to Skirvin Hotel. The place was built in 1911, and shortly thereafter, original owner Fred Schrubel was shot to death, but not before allegedly impregnating a maid who perished on the 10th floor.
Oh, gosh.
It's been downhill from there. Even a renovation in the early 1990s didn't scrub the supernatural from the most haunted hotel in Oklahoma.
Man.
That's creepy, but it is kind of like the Shining Hotel.
We should go there definitely one day.
The Skirvin
Hotel? No, the Shining Hotel. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's not a real hotel.
Well, well the Overlook Hotel yeah, or whatever. What's it really called?
I guess it is a real hotel. Yeah, I
mean, it is a real place. Anyway, 37, Oregon. The Bandaged Man of Cannon Beach. Mm. Far from the rooted in history scares of Portland's Shanghai tunnels, the Bandaged Man haunts a lonely patch of decommissioned highway near the idyllic coast of Cannon Beach. Like many slightly pervy ghosts, he likes to mess with randy teenagers messing in the back of their car. Though more sinister legends have him eating dogs, wandering in the windswept roadside, and even jumping in the back of pickups, sedans, and filling cars with the scent of rotting flesh. The Bandaged Man was most popularly a logger hat. The Bandaged Man was most popularly a logger hacked up in a nearby mill. Made by the early documented appearance in the 1950s, he was likely a spook story told around the beach bonfire by teens weaned on monster movies. After hearing late-night tales, retiring to the confines of a secluded road for the third base action, it's a story that carries enough creepy weight to seriously kill the mood, which is why, perhaps, it's persisted for all these decades. That's kind of funny. Like, girls be like, oh my god, wait. Have you heard of the Bandaged Man?
Right. All right, number 38, Pennsylvania. According to legend, after a tragic childhood accident, Charlie No Face, a.k.a. the Green Glowing Man, lost his face and turned radioactive, literally glowing a toxic green as he walks the western Pennsylvania highways at night. His main haunt is Piney Fork Tunnel, an abandoned freight tunnel in Hillsville. But if you seek him out, keep your foot on the accelerator. Even if he manages to touch your car, it might stall out. Then you'll be hanging out with Charlie No Face for the rest of your probably short life. Ray Robinson was a real man. As a child in 1919, he was severely electrocuted by a trolley wire while peering into a bird's nest, which practically melted and disfigured his entire face. As an adult, Robinson walked Western Pennsylvania highways, Route 351 to be exact, but only at night, as his shocking visage garnered unwanted attention. His glowing appearance is likely due to the petroleum jelly he needed to coat his damaged skin.
Wow.
Those who knew him claim he was incredibly sweet, though profoundly isolated. And no, he has nothing to do with Pennsylvania's other green men.
That's funny. 39, Rhode Island, the Devil's Footprints.
Ooh.
There's a rock on Devil's Foot Road that appears to show a normal human footprint and a cloven hoof. The story goes that a Native American woman was murdered by a white man and fled the scene of the crime. While running, she was stopped by another man. She cried out to the devil to save her, and when the man admitted that he himself was the devil, he stomped his feet on the ground to prove that he had a cloven hoof, and that still shows on the rock to this day.
Oh, wow.
That's really weird.
I want to see this rock.
Me too.
Number 40, South Carolina, Boo Hags. Boo Hags basically makes traditional vampires look like Robert Pattinson vampires.
Oh, that's not good.
They're skinless beings that creep into people's homes in the low country, climb on their chests for a ride, and gain vitality by sucking out your breath.
Ooh.
Ooh, that sounds like sleep.
Yeah. Like sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. They also have a nasty habit of tearing off a victim's skin and wearing it to keep themselves warm.
You just take a blanket.
Just take my blanket. Though they'll usually just leave you short of breath and tired.
Okay, well, I can live with that.
It's like sleep apnea demon.
This is like sleep apnea. Yeah, exactly.
Boo hags are a fixture of the Gula or the Geechee culture prevalent in coastal low country areas populated by African American descendants of slavery. The creatures are among the most horrifying and unsettling among the rich folkloric history.
41 South Dakota, Walking Sam. A wave of suicides, 103 attempts as of December of 2014 on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, is being attributed to the presence of a Walking Sam figure. Teenagers claim a slender, shadow-like spirit dubbed Walking Sam appears before them and commands them to kill themselves. Oh, the first,
that's interesting.
Right. The first wave occurred in 2013 when five members of the Ogallala Sioux tribe killed themselves and continued into a spiral until the Ogallala Sioux tribe vice president Thomas Poor Bear discovered photos on Facebook in 2015 depicting nooses hanging from trees, revealing plans behind a teenage suicide group.
Oh, wow.
The specter archetype that Walking Sam is based off has roots starting in the good old-fashioned boogeyman and working all the way down to the Slender Man Made Me Do It folklore of 2008. The idea of shadow people is also a pretty old-school urban legend going back further than American history can even track. However, the character of Walking Sam himself has existed among the Lakota and Dakota Native American tribes for some time now.
Wow, that's creepy. Number 42, Tennessee, the Bell Witch.
Yep, our other home state.
Yeah, right. Tennessee, our other home state. This is always a good one. This one's always scared me, the Bell Witch.
For sure.
They made a movie basically based off of it also.
Yeah.
Which is called An American Haunting.
It's really good.
It is a good one. That's a creepy one. And it changes the story up a lot, but it also kind of sticks to like the same, you know, things that premise. Allegedly were happening.
Right,
you
know, right.
Like just what the entity was doing. So essentially a real life horror movie, The Hauntings of One Tennessee Family by some sort of spirit believed to be a witch ultimately attracted the attention and subsequent visit by soon to be President Andrew Jackson. And while Jackson, who allegedly was spoken to by the witch, got the heck out of Dodge, a cave near the site believed to be a portal for which the witch remains is a major tourist attraction in Adams, Tennessee today. So where did it come from? Probably hell. But more factually, the haunting of the Bell Witch began in 1817 after the father, John Bell, witnessed some sort of rabbit-headed dog in the field and tried to shoot it. From that night on, the family experienced tappings on the doors and windows, sheets slowly being pulled off the bed, and eventually the voice of a woman named Kate, who was dead set on destroying the family. After years of torment, John Bell died in 1820, after which the family found a small vial of liquid near his deathbed. Kate, aka the Bell Witch, proudly proclaimed she gave John the poison that finished him off. There was also one girl that the Bell Witch focused on other than just John, and she's the one that would rip at her hair.
Yeah.
Pick her up and then like slap her several times, and
right.
Then there was multiple people that weren't even in the family that would come over to check on the Bell family and were said to have witnessed all this.
I mean, if you have witnesses,
and this went on for years, like these people were being tormented by this demonic entity for years, like scratches, being bit, you know, just whispers in the middle of the night,
right.
You know, how terrified were these people? And just to think how rural, you know, 1870, like, these people were, like, just living off the land, like, you know, I just think pilgrim type.
Right, for sure. All right, number 43 is Texas, the Candy Lady.
You can't mess with Texas.
In the early 1900s, children in an unnamed rural town in Texas started to go missing, and the residents blamed it on the Candy Lady.
Ooh.
The story says that she would go around leaving candy on children's windows, and eventually she'd lure the kids out with notes attached promising more candy.
Wow.
The story picked up steam when a farmer allegedly found rotting teeth on his farm, and later found the body of a boy with his pockets stuffed with candy.
Wow.
While little is known about the origin story, some have speculated that the candy lady was real and that her name was Clara Crane.
Wow. So she was a real person.
Right.
So that's always the creepiest is the real.
For sure.
Number 44, Utah. Escalante Petrified Forest Curse. Utah's legend is particularly troubling for tourists as they might be taking the horror home with them.
Oh no.
Even if they escape the forest.
Oh no.
With shocking regularity, visitors who have stolen chunks of petrified wood from the Escalante Petrified Forest State Park will mail back their lifted souvenirs. All their letters detail a series of unfortunate events, from broken collarbones and arms and ribs to mysterious illnesses or horrific accidents and even financial ruin.
Wow.
The one thing they have in common, they all have occurred after the victims illegally stole a piece of the forest. Many people have, and still do, mail back cursed pieces of petrified wood, and the park even displays the letters and samples openly as an attraction. Apparently, there have been cases of stolen wood turning to bad luck since the 1930s, though it's unclear to the actual root of the curse. Maybe it's the burden of morality affecting other areas of life. Maybe it's just coincidence. Either way, it's not worth risking your collarbone. That's creepy. Like, I used to have a piece of petrified wood.
Really?
I have no idea what happened to it, but yeah, when I was a kid, like, maybe a grandparent or somebody gave me, like, a piece of petrified wood.
That's cool.
It's just a piece of wood that's so old that's basically turned into a rock.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And then people are still in this and they haven't died of luck.
Right.
Number 45, Vermont, the Hayden family curse. You know a curse is serious when it takes down an entire lineage and still manages to bother people after everyone else is dead.
Hell yeah.
William Hayden was a wealthy landowner in Albany, Vermont in the early 1800s, but he never repaid his even wealthier mother-in-law for loaning him some major funds over the years. After much complaining, she became mysteriously ill and accused William of poisoning her. With her dying breath, she said, "The Hayden name shall die in the third generation, and the last to bear the name shall die in poverty."
Golly.
The Hayden family barely made it another 100 years, and after being plagued with catastrophes and illnesses, phantom music, mysterious lights, and other assorted paranormal activity is said to haunt their estate in Albany, along with the ghost of vengeful mother-in-law also. In some versions, William Hayden was a Gatsby-esque party boy who quite knowingly blew all his mother-in-law's funds on lavish parties and ornate decorations for his home, building the family's local fame and infamy, which probably just fueled the rumor mill. And when all the Haydens died, a wealthy Canadian family moved into their mansion and allegedly used the home for bootlegging and smuggling Chinese immigrants for slave labor.
Oh, that's sad.
So even if the curse isn't real, the house has some dark energy. All right, number 46, Virginia, the Bunny Man Bridge. This is a fun legend to repeat at campfires, but the real sightings beyond the legend are some to give you nightmares. In 1970, there were numerous police reports of people who had been threatened by a man holding an axe wearing a white suit with bunny ears.
Ooh, that's fucking awful.
A few individuals reported that the man in the suit actually threw the axe at them for trespassing. To this day, there have been many sightings of dead rabbits appearing in the woods surrounding Fairfax Bridge, known as the Bunny Man Bridge, as well as a white figure appearing late night underneath the bridge. Legend says that in 1904, a group of convicts were piled onto the bus and transported from an asylum to Clifton, Virginia, to a nearby prison. En route, one of the buses crashed and the convicts escaped, and the police were unable to round all but one victims. and the police were able to round all up but one of the convicts.
Well, that's good.
As their search went on, they began to find a skinned, half-eaten bunnies in the woods hanging from the overpass at Fairfax Bridge, now known as the Bunny Man Bridge. A year later, on Halloween night, several teens were hanging out at the bridge and then saw a white apparition allegedly holding an axe.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah, I think it's just the axe thing, right?
Yeah.
The axe and chainsaw kind of have the same effect.
I think chainsaw is maybe even a little more brutal, but yeah, axe. That's pretty bad. Yeah,
chainsaw is definitely a little more brutal, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the axe and the chain, like, it's very...
Yeah, they're very...
Those two things are like,
what that could be fuck? A versus. Axe right? versus
there
chainsaw.
You go. There you go. Good versus.
All right, 47, Washington, the 13 steps to hell. It's always got to be steps when involved with hell. Steps. That's what our hell would be.
I thought heaven had a stairway.
and hell has a highway, right? Basically, it's the complete opposite of the Led Zeppelin song. The subject of the rumors associating with Satanism. It's rumored to include this subterranean tomb for a really creepy rich family that could be accessed by 13 steps that led to their final resting place, or the final resting place of every damned soul in history. The legend has it that descending into the staircase led you to a glimpse of hell itself. The cemetery has been around since 1901, and though the crypt itself date has been lost to time, the stairs themselves, which have been bulldozed and covered in concrete, hasn't stopped curious paranormal masochists from trespassing onto the secluded property, allegedly show up to the cemetery at night, eager to unearth it via nocturnal excavation missions and being greeted by the cemetery's other apparitions.
Wow, that's creepy.
Yeah, for sure. That's a bad one.
Yeah.
All right, number 48, West Virginia. We're going pretty popular on this one with the Mothman.
Okay, you love the Mothman.
I don't. You always say I love the Mothman.
I feel like you love it, don't you?
I mean, I'm down with the Mothman, I guess. The Mothman was introduced to West Virginia in 1966 when the best newspaper headline ever, couple sees man-sized bird, creature, something.
They saw something, damn it. We don't know what it is, but...
Maybe a bird, maybe a creature, maybe a man.
Yeah, one of the things.
From there, residents all over West Virginia reported seeing a winged, human-like, red-eyed creature around the state. Unsure if it was a demon, alien, or genetic experiment gone wrong, even as recently as 2016, Mothman sightings have made the news.
Ooh, wow, 2016.
Right, man. And that it's on the actual news is hilarious.
It was less seen like in Chicago or something, maybe.
I don't like that. It's got to be in West Virginia.
Only?
Period.
I think it travels around.
The myth dates back to initial newspaper piece, but the legend has long been propagated in pop culture, inspiring the horror novel and the subsequent Richard Greer film adaptation.
Yeah, the Mothman prophecies.
In Point Pleasant, it has become an original incident that the Mothman Museum, Mothman Festival, and a sizable statue have been created there.
See, that's crazy, too. Like, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, they believe so much in the Mothman that they erected a...
Statue.
Another thing is, too, like, there is a theory that all these creatures, like... the Mothman or Bigfoot even, you know, a lot of these creatures are actually extraterrestrials that this is like their exoskeleton or whatever. Or like this is like their suit that they put on to be able to walk around on.
Their spacesuit, as you were saying. Yeah.
So in order to walk around on what Earth is and what Earth's physics are, they have to wear the suit. That isn't actually what they look like per se.
That makes sense. I mean, I can see that for sure.
I mean,
if you were an alien and you saw an astronaut, you would automatically think, what fucking weird dude is this? Right. With this big ass one eye head.
Yeah,
this white puffy body.
True, that's true. Yeah, yeah, because like just an astronaut suit doesn't necessarily look like a human.
I mean, it's somewhat with the arms and legs and head.
That's what I'm saying. It still like acts or kind of looks like a human, but it doesn't really.
Right.
If you didn't know there was something underneath that.
Exactly.
Good point. All right, so number 49, Wisconsin, the Rhinelander Hodag.
Hodag.
The Hodag is a small creature that is simultaneously a frightening demon and comically covered in spikes. It's often portrayed as being dog-sized, but early reports said it could grow at least 6 feet long.
That's awful.
A 1928 legend describes the Hodag as having the head of a frog, saber-toothed tiger-like fangs, thick legs with large claws, and the back of a plated dinosaur, and a long tail with spears at the end. This does sound like a dinosaur.
Right.
Despite its hellspawn swagger, it was never that much of a threat to humans, outside of its powerful skunk perfume stench.
Another stinky skunk.
Another stinky creature. Why is it also, too, like they say, like demon stink, like sulfur?
Oh,
stuff?
Right.
The Green Devil was discovered in 1893 by developer Eugene Shepard and almost instantly became a fixture of the North Wisconsin folklore. 3 years later, Shepard claimed he caught another and put it on display in 1896 in Oneida County Fair. He had knocked it out with chloroform and it was sleeping. But he had wires hooked up to the fake animal to make it move occasionally. Word spread fast at the Smithsonian, and the Smithsonian sent a reporter to take a look at the Hodag. Shepard quickly admitted that it was a fraud. Ron Lemmer never let go, though. It's high school's mascot, and there are multiple statues of the beast around the town. So, I mean, so it's like this guy, like, they actually saw this thing, and this guy, like, just to make some money, like, made it up.
Right,
and, like,
exactly.
Made this puppet, and everybody believed it was real, and then realized, no, it's not real. But the, you know.
But that first sighting.
Hell, like, how cool is it that you get, you know, like, your high school football team is a mythical, local right. Laurel
right.
creature. We're the Hodags!
Yeah, that's funny.
Number 50, Wyoming. The Platte River Ship of Death. There are endless creepy tales in the wilds of Wyoming. Among them are headless women who haunt the lodge at Old Faithful. But the creepiest is also the most overlooked. A ghost ship that materialized out of a spectral fog on the Platte River. This is kind of like the movie The Fog.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? Another Wes Craven. Or no.
John
Carpenter. No, another John Carpenter.
Oh, okay.
The cursed crew huddles on the deck of the old sailboat surrounding a body. If the onlooker persists in looking, the corpse is revealed to be that of a still-living loved one, who will then die soon afterwards.
Oh, no.
The ship was first reportedly spotted in 1892 by a trapper, like a fur trapper, named Leon Weber. His girlfriend died shortly after he envisioned her on the cursed deck. Legend has it that the last documented sighting claimed the life of a lumberjack's girlfriend back in 1903. There have been no official sightings since, though you could forgive for getting the hell away from the river as soon as the fog rose in.
Right.
So that's kind of like the movie The Fog, like another movie inspired by actual true events. Like, how creepy
right.
is that? Like,
I mean,
I love that.
I'm really
What's
freaked
creepier
out.
Than real life?
I'm really freaked out by anything that gives you a future vision of your death or a loved one dying.
Right, a premonition.
Right, like that's really creepy.
It is creepy. Premonitions or deja vu, even.
Right.
It's all strange, all weird. There you go. We made it through, though. So
yeah.
50 states.
50 you know, creepy things.
Well, at least some of them had a couple, you know, we just had to tell some
oh,
of them.
Right.
like we said before, there's so many. These are just some of our favorite ones that we found to like.
Right.
It's impossible to narrow it down to the actual creepiest one. It's all subjective, right?
For sure. But I think that the list we've gathered here today has been pretty damn good.
Yeah, I feel good about it. There's some creepy ass shit on there. Each state has got some creepy stories.
That's a fact.
But hell, what do you guys think? Do you live in one of these states? Is that actually the creepiest thing that we said? Or do you have something that's even creepier?
Right. Or if you don't live in the United States, what's your creepy urban legend where you live?
Yeah, Nashville.
Tell us more, right?
Yeah. This whole world is filled with creepy demons and creatures and folklore and
haunted murders,
haunted roads, ghosts. It's all out there, all over. And we would love to hear from you. And you can always hit us up at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
And you can hit us up on Facebook and Instagram anytime at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yeah, hit us up there and make sure to follow us. And tell your friends about this if you enjoy it. We would love to hear what you think is the creepiest urban legend in your area. Oh, wow. Are you still alive?
Yeah.
We made it through 50 states. Zed, our zombie.
Yeah, he is a zombie in his day. He's dead, so his name is Zed.
Yeah, he's a zombie and he's dead. His name is Zed. Well, he made it through it. I made it through it. 50 whole states. Are you scared yet?
Yeah, if you've made it through 50 whole states and you're still with us,
I might be scared of you.
We're about to make it. We're going to make it worth your while because you know what time it is.
You know what time it is. Let's play Versus.
Versus.
This is where we take one scary thing and pit it against another scary thing, and we decide which one we think. It's scary.
My favorite thing is every time I open this, I see a little coin from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
That's scary. It makes the box lucky.
I don't know.
Scary thoughts. Joshua,
remember when we saw that Peggy?
Awesome. Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy.
Oh, Peggy the doll.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad things can happen to you. Sorry, Peggy. We didn't mean to talk about you without your permission. And please don't kill us.
All right.
Anyway, this season, we're going to do fictional horror characters, right? We're keeping that theme.
Yeah.
Because everything else has been true, real stories, you know.
And
is our house haunted?
No, what it's the dogs. It's the dogs' way in the toy.
I saw Terrifier. I'm scared.
Now we're scared. It's a really good one this week.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Why do you always pick?
Because I designated that as my job as office manager.
Okay, fair enough. There we go. You heard it first. I guess you don't have to get that in writing. It's now recorded.
All right. You ready for this?
Yeah, that's it.
Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, the perfect.
Yep. Right? All right.
Well.
Let's get into it.
I guess we're going to make this episode even longer. Buckle in.
All right. You know how I like
buckle
to do
in,
it.
Buckle in, ghouls and
I like to do it by just, let's start bars. Going through the facts of Freddy.
What? Let's start that over again. I wish I would have never said that. There's a reason we call it Haunted Haze.
Cut that out, dude.
Girl, no.
All right. You know how I like...
That, bitch. Sitting on a motherfucking corner smoking dope.
Get it together.
Oh, shit.
It's Freddy versus
it's
Jason.
Downhill from there. Yeah, Freddy versus Jason. We love it.
Yes. All right. So who's scarier, Freddy or Jason?
Both of them. Damn. You got to think about it. Which one do you think is scarier?
I think... That's what I'm saying. We gotta think about it. I don't. Nobody comes to my mind first.
I was drinking at the theater.
Sorry. I didn't know you were drinking every time Arthur Clown killed somebody.
Well, he killed a lot of damn people.
Yes, a lot of people died in that movie.
All right, listen. Who I think is scarier is Freddy.
Why? Because he gets you in your sleep.
Yeah, he gets you in your sleep. You have to sleep.
Yeah, because you're gonna fall asleep. No matter.
I don't know. I'm slowly taking that back. Jason is terrifying.
Jason is terrifying, but...
Freddy as a visual is also scary.
Oh, that's just a fact. And he's like a pedophile. Have we talked about this before?
Him being a pedophile?
No. I'm saying, like, I feel like I've mentioned that before. But yeah, Freddy is scarier in many ways.
We've done some movie review of Freddy versus Jason, the movie. The 2009 movie.
I love that movie. We're going to watch it this month. But I'm just saying.
It was like 2004. I said 2009. Life's a blur.
All right, let's start this over. So Freddy versus Jason. I mean, Freddy immediately comes to mind as being scary as hell because he gets you in your sleep.
Oh, yeah, right? And I'm just, the imagery of Freddy is scary to me.
Yes, with the burns and the claws.
And plus, while he's in your dream,
the anything, Christmas sweater.
Anything goes. So he, yeah. That's why he looks like all these, like the TV set.
Yeah. Thing. That's where the Freddy movies also lose me as a viewer. Like, sometimes I just can't allow myself to be scared of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's, sometimes it's so ridiculous with Freddy.
Yeah.
And he says some of the most ridiculous shit.
Right.
So, like, I lose that.
Hey, bitch.
But the claws are terrifying.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
And the fact that he gets you in the sleep. The yeah. sleep and the claws are the...
But Jason. Yeah. I mean, Jason's scary.
He...
But you also...
It's persistent.
You also kind of feel sorry for Jason in some ways.
Right? Yeah, but there's no way I can, like, comfort Jason and tell him, like, hey, you don't have to kill me.
Maybe that's all he needs.
He's
a hug.
No, he's no. Yeah, he will hug you, and as he's hugging you, he'll stick that machete up in your back and, like, hold you out on it, like, with your body sliding down.
I used to be hardcore team Jason, just love Jason.
Yeah.
And I still do, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love Jason. But I'm definitely coming over to the Michael Myers side a little bit.
Oh, I love Michael Myers. More than I used to be. Yes. Michael is my favorite.
Especially because of these last couple of movies that are
I can't wait. Oh, that's definitely. We're going to see Michael Myers Friday.
All right, but Jesus Christ, we're talking about
Freddy versus Jason. Yes. All right,
so let's just end it. Freddy's scarier.
I think Freddy's scarier. I agree.
There you go. You heard it here first.
All right. And then now it's time for one final terrifying question.
Oh, God. I thought it was over.
Let's see. How many whiskeys does it take to throw Josh off? On a scary question.
One. Two.
Okay, I'm just going to throw a curveball at you.
All right, let's do it. One final terrifying question.
In Pet Sematary, what type of vehicle hits Gage Creed on the highway near the family house?
A semi-truck.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's a fact.
I made it through it.
You did.
I escaped and the so terrifying did you. Question. And so did you. And we hope that you really enjoyed this. Sorry it was long. Sorry we got a little goofy. You know what? Tell us about it. You can always hit us up at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Peace out.
Peace out. Stay haunted.